This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is Hot Start.
Hot Start.
Fixing everything. Day 6.
Oh, man. It's almost over.
I can't believe it's almost over.
I can't believe how fast it went.
And we get some of the best guests.
Yes,
what's the story?
Do. We got Tom Parent here. He's a pilot.
From NASA.
Ooh, rocket scientist.
That's right. Space.
But you know,
space good.
A lot of people think that NASA is strictly
only
rocket
space,
science.
Correct.
But these guys are also doing aeronautical research.
Now, you know, I remember, I guess you could call it the golden age of flight tests. That would have been the 50s and the 60s.
Right.
What are you guys doing now?
Well, we're doing all of that, you know, at various centers around the country. You know, NASA isn't just at one place. It's not just in Houston or Armstrong out in Edwards, Palmdale area. We're all over the place in various centers, and each center has a different mission, a different core mission. I'm based out at Ellington Field, Houston, Texas, at the Johnson Space Center, and our primary task is training astronauts for spaceflight. We also have a secondary role for doing science and research. We do that in a variety of different aircraft.
Now, you flew up in a T-38, which we all know is an older generation aircraft. But why does NASA keep that? Why do you guys still fly that airplane?
Well, it's the primary aircraft that our astronauts fly when they prepare to go to space.
Is it because the way it flies is very similar to a spacecraft? I mean, I can't imagine that's the case, but...
No, that wouldn't work.
No, sure, I mean, it is called the White Rocket.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a start there. But, no, it's just a high-performance aircraft that, you know, typically we fly it with a crew of two. It can be flown solo, but we fly it high-performance, doing aerobatics, instruments, formation, and this is where we get our astronauts ready to go to space. So the kind of training they get down on at in this Earth's atmosphere prepares them to go up and serve as a crew member in space.
So he said formation, so that means we're going to see like space capsules in formation. Well, the echelon formation.
Actually, you say that in jest, but that really was done with the Gemini program. They did have a rendezvous where they had capsules nose to nose.
Sure, but that's different than a formation takeoff.
Absolutely.
So anyway.
Well, you know, the main reason they have the airplane, and NASA won't say this, is because these guys need something to hot rod.
Exactly. After a long day in the simulator, they need to go out and let off some steam.
Exactly. Oh, man, I got to get out of here. Let's do some loops and rolls.
Yeah, yeah. So what's it like flying that thing? You say it's the White Rocket.
It is the White Rocket. Yeah, it's a great aircraft. Handles very nice. It's very predictable. It's a very simple aircraft in terms of systems and avionics and just the functionality of it. Not super complex. You know, it can go Mach 1.2 if you
push
it.
That's fast enough.
So it's supersonic trainer. And,
wow.
You know, we get supersonic every so often on check flights out over the Gulf of Mexico.
And you don't have to pay for the gas.
We're not paying for the gas.
Right? That's pretty cool stuff.
Okay, let's talk about preparing astronauts for space. That sounds like such a simple statement, but I mean, it must take years to bring a guy from zero. And, of course, you're starting off mostly with aviators already.
Well, used to be, way back in the 60s and probably 70s it was like that, but now non-military jet flyers probably make up 75% of the astronaut corps. So
I have a chance? You know, fat old dudes?
There's always a chance. Yeah, so like this most recent class that just got hired, there's 12 new astronaut candidates out of 18,000 applied. I think three of them are jet pilots. There's a couple other that have military experience or helicopter experience. But so those three, they'll come to us already checked out in jet airplanes. We just got to give them a quick checkout in the T-38. The rest of the astronauts, the ones that come from science and research, you know, doctors and engineers and whatnot, they don't really have that flying background. And we'll get that in several ways. And we'll start out sending them to Pensacola in Florida with the Navy, and they'll go through water survival training there. They'll get some basic aircraft flying in the T-6 there. They don't solo it, but they'll get some time. It'll be about a two-month program. Then they'll come out to Houston, and we will start them into about a two-month program in the T-38, checking them out and getting them used to that high-performance aircraft.
Wait a minute here. You just said T-6. Are we talking the Texan 2, or are we talking the original one?
Yeah, they start them out in Jennies.
Yeah, really. I was going to say the program has to be a little more modern than a World War II trainer.
But it still is a prop plane. So, yeah, they go the T-6 Texan 2 with the Navy
for 2 months. Okay, yeah, turboprop. But,
right.
Yeah, good airplane.
Is the goal to make them pilots or just to familiarize them with the dynamics of flight?
You know, at the end of our training program, they are operating just like a pilot, with the exception of our aircraft, we don't let them take off or land because they're in the back seat. We don't check them out for the front seat. And from the back seat, it's super hard to see out forward off the nose. We've got a Martin Baker ejection seat in there that takes up a lot of the visibility from the back seat, so we don't let them land. So typical sortie, if I was going out with a qualified astronaut in the back seat, we'd take off, we'd get a couple hundred feet up, I'd have gear up, flaps up, give them the aircraft, they'll fly the entire sortie, and on short final, I'll take it back and get us on deck.
Wow.
And they'll do everything in between.
Now, right now you guys aren't flying, you're about to fly, you're building all sorts of stuff. How do you pick a command module pilot? Is there a contest, a lottery, you know, who can shoot ping pong balls the farthest? I mean, how does this
you
work?
You and ping pong balls.
How many ping pong balls can a space shuttle carry? They never answered that question.
No.
Well, right now, I mean, there's no really command module pilot necessarily. The Russians that we go up on the Soyuz with, you know, they're in charge of the capsule, and then our astronauts are like second in command of that or engineering seat on that. But once they're up in space on the space station, then the senior astronaut would become the International Space Station commander.
Okay.
And those guys have typically been up to space at least once before, probably a couple of times before they take command of that space station. And then they're in command of it for approximately, I would say, about three to 5 months.
How do you prepare someone for that, for the isolation, the I can't just go outside and take a walk of space?
Well, there's a few things they do. There's a program where they take the astronauts, they put them in this submerged environment, and they put them in that for about 2 weeks at a time, and then now they're kind of isolated. They're forced to work together as a crew, and that kind of, it's kind of a lead-in to being up in space in that cramped quarters with multiple international partners.
And you give them tasks to do. They're not just sitting down there reading Mad Magazine.
Right. No, there's actual science going on down there, and they're an active part of that science.
Okay. Meanwhile, the overall science is what happens to untrained people when you stick them in a can in a swimming pool for 2 weeks.
And so the whole purpose, again, of the T-38 is really just to get them used to being that crew environment, working together to solve problems in a high-stress, high task load environment. And so we purposely go out there and put them in that. So when they get in that space station or they're rocketing up the Soyuz or later on some U.S.-made spaceship, it'll be more natural to them.
Okay.
They're already acclimated to it. I mean, it's got to be quite a wow factor if you get on the space station and you're selected to do an EVA. I mean, here you are on the outside, you know, a couple hundred miles up, doing 17-some-odd thousand miles an hour, and you look down at this great big blue ball and go, wow.
And then you do a Chris Hadfield and start singing.
Yeah, really. I get the feeling there's a lot of kidding around that goes on. I'd love to hear some of the behind-the-scenes stories.
Oh, the practical jokes you could tell? Oh,
boy.
Yeah, so I've never been to space, but I've heard all the great stories. Heard some of them. It's pretty exciting up there. In those spacewalks, they train for months to do those spacewalks. And in general, they spend probably 6 months just getting their space EVA qualification done. But when they're going to space, and they're going to be up there for about 6 months, they know exactly what spacewalks they're going to do in advance. They don't just usually pop up, no notice,
yeah.
Although that has happened fairly recently.
Sure, emergency repairs.
Right. And then in that case, they get ready to go. And in fact, about a month or so, they went out and did a spacewalk within about 2 or 3 days of finding a problem and then resolved it. So it was pretty
good. They had changed a light bulb out there.
Somebody double parked again.
Right. Wow.
The whole NASA experience has to be overwhelming. You think of the history and what NASA did back in the 50s and the 60s and 70s. And to me, growing up with all that, it's just stunning to see the history of NASA. And it's good to know that you guys are continuing it, too.
Yeah, it is a great history. And, it's great history, great mission, and more importantly, it's great people. We have people that one of our pilots, he's a simulator instructor now because he's a little bit too old to fly the T-38, but he's still instructing the astronauts in the simulator. And he came on board about a week or so after Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. So
when
people come to NASA down at Ellington Field, they tend to stay
a long time.
Yes.
It's a good job.
Yep, could be. I think I'll apply.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to be ballast. What are you going to do?
Same thing. I was thinking about being a wheel chock, though. There's a big future in that.
You wanted to stay on the ground, huh?
I did. You know, I like looking up at airplanes.
Yeah. And getting run over by them.
Yeah, running over by them, yes.
So I'm assuming you've been there a long time, too?
I've been there about 6 years. I retired from
the
Air Force.
Oh, you're young in you.
Yeah. In 2011, and the very next day after I retired, I started working out at... For NASA.
Wow, that doesn't happen in the real world. You know, progress from one job right into another seamlessly.
Nope.
Worked out pretty nice. My timing was really nice.
Yeah, you hit it just right. When you get hired as an astronaut, I mean, that's got to be a long-term commitment.
Well, so I'm not an astronaut.
Okay.
But the astronauts, definitely, they're not there just for 5-6 years and move on. You know, they'll come and many of them will stay for 20-plus years. Some of them will do 10, 12, 15 years, you know, fly once, a couple times, and then move on to something else. Yeah, it's not a short-term commitment. In fact, our astronauts typically take about 6 or so years before they actually go into space once they've started training with us. So it's a fairly long lead time for that.
And it gives them time to really look them over and make sure they're qualified and aren't going to wig out.
Right. The interview process and the application process is pretty rigorous. You know, we had 18,000 applicants on this last one. They narrowed it down and hired 12. And they do a very good job of that interview process. The people we have flying out there are just amazing aviators, amazing scientists, doctors, you name it. They're just really good people. Yeah. Great to work with.
Well, I want to thank you, Tom, for joining us. And there's about 6,000 other questions we could ask, but we don't have the time right now. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.